on this day back in 1973, the inventor of the Hammond organ died at the age of 73. That's Lawrence Hammond. And A Whiter Shade of Pale, one of the more well-known Hammond organ songs, although you can find it all over the place in Zeppelin tunes and the Allman Brothers and the Faces, and everyone uses the Hammond organ. It's just such a fantastic sound. The inventor of the Hammond organ died on this day back in 1973, at the age of 73, in fact. He was born in 1900. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on the Steve Gruber Show. Thanks so much for joining us. We talk now with Phil Kirpin, president of American Commitment and the president of the Committee to Unleash Prosperity, too. Find him on Twitter at Kirpin, K-E-R-P-E-N. And Phil's been on the COVID-19 case for quite a while, looking at stats and information. Great follow on the topic. Phil, thanks for joining us once again.
Hey, Scott. Great to be with you.
Have to ask you up front about this study from Michigan, from the Henry Ford Health Systems on hydroxychloroquine. You were tweeting a bit about this last night. Study says that it lowers the COVID-19 death rate, which is good news. What do you see from the study? How does it coincide or jive with other things that you've seen? Where do steroids sort of work in with this? What do you see?
Well, it's really interesting because one of the things that a lot of the doctors were saying and have been saying for a long time is that hydroxychloroquine seems to work if you can get it early, which is to say if you can get it really before there's a lot of virus already in your system, it stops it from replicating, and that gives your immune system a better chance to catch up with it and clear it. And, you know, if you're already pretty advanced illness and you're already full of virus, then it doesn't seem to help much because, you know, you stop it replicating. Okay, great, but there's already enough virus in you to cause all of the disease and death, and it's too late. And so, you know, that's what a lot of doctors have been saying. And then we get all these studies, including one out of New York that was widely touted in the media, that gave the drug to people who were already severely, severely ill. And then they said, well, it didn't work. So, you know, and then they concluded from that it didn't work at all. And a lot of people were saying, well, no, wait a second. You know, you're trying the wrong thing. You're trying in the wrong population of patients. If you're giving it when it's that late in the disease course, that's not what the doctors who are using it successfully have been doing. And so it's really interesting because Henry Ford Hospital, they were giving it within 24 hours of admission to most of these patients, and almost all of them within 48 hours. So they were starting it earlier, and they got very positive results. And there are two things they pointed out. One was that, and the other was what you mentioned, that these patients were also given steroids. They were given Medrol, methylprednisolone. And it's really interesting. That's really interesting, too, because one of the things we're seeing in almost all the trials lately that have been successful is they involve steroids. And there was a very successful steroid trial out of the UK using a steroid called dexmethasone. I don't have the word in front of me, something like that. And there was also a Medrol study out of Spain that was very successful. So we're seeing these studies now that suggest that steroids can be very effective with this. And the amazing thing about that, Scott, is that they were using steroids successfully back in February and March in Japan and China, and the World Health Organization was saying, don't do that. Steroids are the worst thing. Don't give steroids. We strongly urge you not to use steroids for this condition. Mm-hmm. And you really have to wonder, you know, how many lives we lost because of that bad WHO advice. Because steroids are a pretty standard thing to use for, you know, inflammatory conditions, including pneumonia, and yet I think we steered clear of them because doctors thought the World Health Organization knew something, and it turns out they did not. They were completely wrong on that point, as they've been wrong about so many aspects of this whole thing. And so very, very interesting study there coming out of Henry Ford suggesting that maybe the drug the president likes actually does work if you get it early enough and if you use it in conjunction with steroids.
Phil Kirpin, president of American Commitment, with us at Kirpin on Twitter, K-E-R-P-E-N. Give him a follow. The nursing home scandal in these blue states, including Governor Whitmer here in Michigan, who's refusing to give information to both Congress and some officials here in the state. It's been a lot of lack of information here, though she says she's relying on science and data you understand. What's the next step here? I mean, we know these governors made awful decisions to put COVID-positive patients in nursing homes. That much we know. What else can we learn from what they did?
Well, we really do need to get real numbers, and both New York and Michigan are refusing to give accurate numbers of the number of nursing home deaths, and New York is explicitly lying by putting an asterisk on their report and saying we're only counting patients who died within the facility, within the nursing home facility itself, which is probably, you know, half or less of the total deaths of nursing home residents, because, of course, most of them were probably hospitalized prior to dying. And so to not count deaths outside the facility is to deliberately and intentionally and obviously lie about the number of residents that died. Michigan is not giving us an asterisk or an explanation, but they're pretty clearly not giving us the full number. And, you know, for they didn't report at all for a long time, and then they started reporting. But we're getting an incomplete picture there. And we really need to have the real numbers, because we need to be able to accurately assess what the disease burden was inside the nursing homes and the reciprocal of that, what the real disease burden was in the general population, so that we can understand what the real risk is and we can have accurate headlines for people. And so I think it's really important to understand that sort of as a retrospective thing. Prospectively, moving forward, we need much better policies that prevent exposure of our sickest and most vulnerable. And, you know, that means we've got to have rigorous protocols, and not just, you know, to test and identify the people in the nursing homes, but upon admission as well. We need to make sure we're not sending infectious people into a situation where they're going to infect people. And that was the big mistake that all these governors made in these states. And frankly, you know, it looks like a lot of these southern states that are kind of getting the wave now, they're not sending the infectious patients back into nursing homes, but they're keeping them indefinitely at the hospital.
Right.
And that might make sense if you have room for them at the hospitals, but it also distorts the statistics. And so we're seeing these very high hospitalization cumulative totals that are much higher than the daily admissions would suggest, because they've got some patients that they're just holding, you know, for weeks on end until they test negative, because they don't want to send them back into a nursing home. And you really wonder, you know, why didn't they learn the lesson from the northern states that you need to have dedicated post-acute care facilities to send them to? So they're not making the same mistake, but it also seems like they really didn't learn the lesson and prepare for it either.
Phil, we got about 60 seconds, maybe 60 seconds here. What have you found about air conditioning? I know you've been tweeting a bit about that, the role of air conditioning and indoor and moving that air around in the spread of this disease.
Well, that's one of the mysteries of this, is why are almost all of the super spread events indoors? And there seems to be so much less propensity for the disease to spread outdoors. And, you know, we've now got, we've got thousands of incidents now, super spread events, that are almost entirely indoors. There are a few that maybe were outdoors. And, you know, the physics of that, we don't totally know why that's the case. You know, there is this question now of, you know, can you do something to make the indoors more like the outdoors, to make the air condition indoors more like the outdoors, and there may be reduced transmissibility. And so I know Governor Cuomo in New York is saying that he wants HEPA filtration in all of the air systems of malls, or else he's not going to allow them to open. I'm not sure that filtration will necessarily help, because I'm not sure that the virus is actually moving through the air conditioning system itself, but it seems like ventilation.
Yes.
Having more fresh air coming in.
Gotta run. Follow Phil on Twitter at Kirk.
There's satisfaction in building something new, something important, and something that will last for generations. Right now, there are job openings across Michigan for construction workers of all kinds. It could be you. Demand for construction workers has never been higher. You can help build roads, bridges, and infrastructure all across Michigan. And remember, construction workers are cool. Go to stevegruber.com and click on the Michigan Construction banner to find out more about opportunities, education, and real possibilities for your future. Click on the Michigan Construction banner at stevegruber.com. Do it today.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Rich Studley with the Michigan Chamber. We represent about 5,000 employers who employ over a million Michigan residents. At times like this, employees and employers have questions. We're your trusted source of information. Please visit the Michigan Chamber's website at michamber.com for the timely and accurate information you need to stay in business and to keep Michigan moving forward.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan forward.
When it comes to planning for your future, you want an advisor who understands your Christian values. Ameriprise Financial Advisor Craig Stiles offers financial planning based on biblical principles. He can help you plan for your goals in a way that is consistent with your faith. Call Craig Stiles today at 517-483-4893. Office is located at 2400 Lake Lansing Road, Suite B, Lansing, Michigan, 48912. Ameriprise Financial provides financial services without regard to religious affiliation or cultural background. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Every week at Ellie's Place, peer support groups help hundreds of children and teens learn to cope and begin to heal after the death of a parent, sibling, or someone close to them.
It just made me feel like I wasn't the only one going through this.
1 in 12 children in Michigan will experience the death of a parent or sibling before the age of 18. At Ellie's Place, children interact with peers who've suffered a similar loss and express their emotions in a secure and empowering environment. Learn more at elliesplace.org.